This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Good morning. It's 10 o'clock. Thank you for the first meeting of the Commerce Committee this year, 2016. Welcome back to Pier. For those of you who just arrived today, for those of you who've been here for a while, I'm sorry. We're in session but ready to go. Commerce Committee, as you know, usually carries a fairly heavy load of legislation to consider, and as such, we like to hit the ground running. With that being said, we'll call the meeting to order. Greetings to everyone that is listening via remote, and thank you for taking the time out of your day to spend some time with the Commerce Committee in your South Dakota Senate. I remind everyone that's in the attendance today to make sure and silence your electronic devices of any device style, whether it be a cell phone, Apple Watch, iPad, tablet, etc. This year, we'll be making donations to the Wounded Warrior Foundation at the discretion of the chair. Some people may have a lower fine, others may be higher. And repeat offenders may be asked not to return. Please call the roll.
The following senators: Bradford.
Here.
Hager.
Here.
Norstrup.
Here.
Shorma.
Here.
Sutton.
Here.
Greenfield. Curd.
Here.
There's a quorum.
Quorum exists for the Commerce Committee. I see Senator Greenfield, so we are 100% in attendance this morning. We have no minutes this morning. I remind those of you that are testifying on any legislation the committee is considering this morning to please make sure you sign in on the clipboard in the back. Anyone who has handouts, please make sure you administer those to one of our two pages, who I will now ask to come introduce themselves and tell us where they're from and perhaps where they're headed after they finish their time with us.
Hello, my name is Erin Hazy. I go to Aberdeen Christian School, and right now I'm in the application process for Air Force Academy in West Point.
Hello, my name is Stephen Diacono. I currently go to New Technology High School out in Sioux Falls, and my future holds for me is probably the Marine Corps.
Well, two future service members, thank you very much. I would have to say that the Air Force is probably the superior choice, and I'm unbiased. Make sure if you come before us and you're a registered lobbyist, you're badged up appropriately as well. That's considered to be poor form to appear before the committee if you're not appropriately festooned, so we know who you are and where you're from. The forum for Commerce Committee has and will continue to be relaxed debate. That being said, I remind the committee members to please address your questions through the chair. I don't think we have any contentious things under consideration this morning, but should that occur, it seems like that particular forum works best to kind of control the tempo and flow of things should the need arise. Any members the committee would like to bring up or address or greetings before we get started? If not, we'll start off with the first bill of the year, Senate Bill 37, adopt the 2015 edition of the Uniform Plumbing Code. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Mike Richards. Mike Richards, Director for the Plumbing Commission. Senate Bill 37 would allow the Commission to update its present standards, which is the 2009 edition of the Uniform Plumbing Code, to a newer version, which is the 2015 edition. The 2009 code is becoming outdated, and significant changes have occurred since its adoption, namely many new materials and methods of installation. The Plumbing Commission is confident that the 2015 edition is designed to provide consumers with safe and sanitary plumbing systems and asks for your support of Senate Bill 37. I'll be available for any questions, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony for the committee to consider for Senate Bill 37? Seeing none, are there anyone that wishes to speak in opposition to updating the statute to reflect the current plumbing code? Seeing none, we'll open the testimony for committee questions and or comments. Seeing no comments or questions, which I'm stunned by, I thought Senator Sutton would certainly have a question about the plumbing code. Committee action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sutton.
I move do pass.
Second.
We have a do pass motion by Senator Sutton, seconded by Senator Hagar. Comments on your motion?
Seems pretty clear.
Senator Hagar?
Let's move into the 2015s.
All right. Without any further comments, we'll call the roll for the do pass motion by Senator Sutton, seconded by Senator Hagar, the do pass on Senate Bill 37.
Senator Bradford?
Flush it. Yes.
Hagar?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Sharma?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Curd?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Senate Bill 37, having received a unanimous do pass support. Yes.
Move to place on consent.
Second.
Senator Hagar has moved to place Senate Bill 37 on consent, seconded by Senator Sutton. Are there any comments about that motion? All in favor of Senator Hagar's motion?
Aye.
Having received a unanimous do pass support and also unanimous support for placing Senate Bill 37 on the consent calendar, it will do so. You're 100% for the year, so I suggest you quit while you're ahead.
Thank you.
We'll now consider Senate Bill 38, revise certain provisions concerning bail bonds persons. Proponent testimony. Morning.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Larry Dieter. I'm the director of the South Dakota Division of Insurance, part of the South Dakota Department of Labor and Regulation. With your permission, I'd like to speak to Senate Bill 38 today. South Dakota Division of Insurance is the licensing and regulatory agency for bail bonds persons operating in the state of South Dakota. Senate Bill 38 updates and modernizes the chapter concerning bail bonds licensure to better match the requirements of other insurance licensees. This chapter had some definition updates in 2013. Other than that, it's really the 70s or maybe partially in the late 90s when this chapter was last updated. And some of the updates that are in this proposed bill include, number one, preventing bail bonds persons from using their own license to bail themselves out of jail. There's no prohibition on that today. Updating licensing procedures, such as requiring bail bonds persons to report felony prosecutions to the division. Our other licensees have that requirement today. And then kind of the third addition is requiring a federal criminal background check on bail bonds persons. Currently, the applicants are only subject to a state background check. The current check could allow us to miss something in regards to a background with that individual. Say they moved to our state from Nevada and had a felony in Nevada. We may miss that in the state background check. It may not show up in our check. So we're trying to protect the public, the industry, and keep the potential for bad actors out of the state. So in conclusion, I'd ask for your support of Senate Bill 38. And with that, I'd stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dieter. Any other proponent testimony for Senate Bill 38? Seeing no one quick to rise, are there any opponents that wish to testify against Senate Bill 38? Seeing none, are there committee questions or comments regarding Senate Bill 38? Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sir, I was just curious, as I read this, I didn't see it. Am I missing something? Do you specify how often a person has to go through the background check process?
It'd be on the application, the initial application. There's annual renewals, but it'd just be the initial application time. So, you know, under the additional provision, then if they did have it, some type of felony prosecution, they need to report that to us. But initial application, Senator.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wondered, has there been a problem with the guy bonding himself?
Mr. Dieter.
Yes. There hasn't been a problem with it. There was in the news this past summer, there was an issue with the bail bonds person in the Sioux Falls area that kind of came to light. And some of this issue kind of came about as we looked into the statute, I guess. But there was not a specific issue with the bail bonds person bonding them out that brought this about, Senator.
Thank you. Any further questions, Senator Bradford? Senator Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Dieter, when you proposed changes like this, have you guys been in contact with Bail's Bondsman and had discussions with them about this, or what is, do they have an opinion on this type of change?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Dieter.
We've talked with a few in the industry. I wouldn't say it's been a broad discussion, but the ones that we've talked to have been very supportive of this. They like the industry to be as clean as possible and would like to have, you know, some additional regulation, or not additional regulation, but additional standards in regards to the industry to keep it, you know, at a high level in our state.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dieter. Perhaps the first time we're missing Senator Lederman's presence, he probably could give us some cogent commentary on whether this bill's a good thing or not.
He's bailing himself out this morning.
He could be. Of course, I'm sure he wouldn't be here because that might be construed as lobbying in his own interest within a year of his departure, eh? So probably wouldn't see him here. Any further questions for Mr. Dieter? Seeing none, any further comments or questions by Senate Commerce Committee this morning regarding Senate Bill 38? If there are none, we'll open the hearing for committee action.
I'll move to pass.
Second.
To pass motion by Senator Greenfield, seconded by Senator Hagar. Comments on your motion?
I would like to say exactly what Senator Sutton said before. It sounds pretty straightforward. Clearly, there are a couple issues addressed here. One, the background check, which has become a big part of a whole lot of licensing procedures and whatnot, and then the simple fact that somebody can't issue his own bail or bond money. So I think we're good to go. I don't see any boogeymen in this. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator Greenfield. Any other comments? Seeing no other comments, the Secretary will call the roll for the do pass motion on Senate Bill 38.
Senator Sutton.
Aye.
Sharma.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Hagar.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
It's
unanimous support of Senate Bill 38 and Senator Greenfield's do pass motion.
I'll
wait.
Move consent.
Second.
Senator Greenfield has moved consent for the Senate Bill 38, seconded by Senator Hagar. Excuse me, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Senate Bill 38 will go down to the floor with the objection of Senator Bradford. Thank you. We'll move now to Senate Bill 39, revise certain provisions concerning fees for sponsored captive insurance companies, brought to us by the committee at the request of the Department of Labor. Mr. Dieter, welcome back.
Good morning.
We're lucky
again,
that
we're in
sequential order this morning, so I can't screw up the bill number, huh?
Exactly.
I don't think that's going to continue for us.
Again, my name is Larry Dieter, Director of the South Dakota Division of Insurance, part of the Department of Labor and Regulation. Senate Bill 39 clarifies the fees associated with the first protected cell formed under a sponsored captive insurance company. Captive insurance companies are formed to insure the risks of their owners. They're a mechanism for a business to self-insure property and liability risks. A sponsored captive insurance company insures the risks of one or more protected cells. Cells are established for each participant and are protected from the liabilities of other cells. This bill simply clarifies that the fee to establish the sponsored captive insurance company insures or includes the first protected cell, and no additional fee is required until additional cells beyond that first cell are formed. I believe if you read the language in the bill, it's fairly self-explanatory. Again, this just clarifies what was already in place and brings a little more plain language to that. I guess in conclusion, I'd ask for your support of Senate Bill 39. Thank you. I'll stand by.
Thank you, Mr. Dieter. Any other proponent testimony for Senate Bill 39? Seeing no other proponent testimony, are there opponents for Senate Bill 39 this morning? Seeing none, are there committee questions or comments regarding Senate Bill 39? I have one.
Yes.
I believe that I have at least a familiar general understanding of captive insurance and how it works. I'm wondering if, much like trusts, if captive insurance companies can be homed in a state other than where the captive insurance company might operate. For instance, could folks in Nebraska, Missouri, et cetera, set up a captive insurance market in South Dakota because it's more competitive here than a surrounding state? Does that exist?
Yes, it does.
And the follow-on then is our mechanism here of the first cell is exempt and then each additional cell, there's a fee. Does that reflect what other states might be doing in the marketplace to continue to make South Dakota a competitive place to set up the captives?
I believe that's correct. I wasn't involved in, you know, establishing the legislation, but most of this was put into effect in 13, and my understanding is this was the original intent of this when it was put in place in 2013, and I know it was, you know, there was competitive issues or forces that went into effect as this law was put into effect in 2013. So.
Thank you. Further questions for Mr. Dieter or other comments by the committee? Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't want to be the dullest knife in the drawer, but could you kind of explain to me what you mean by captive insurance?
Mr. Chairman, to better explain captive insurance, if the chairman would allow, I'd ask one of my attorneys, Mallory Barnett, to discuss that. She's kind of our captive expert in regards to captives. Would that be all right?
You're on the hot seat. Come on up. Have you signed in, by the way?
I have not.
Would you please do that? Senator Bradford, the good news about a captive insurance company is you could form one if you chose to do so. You could have Bradford Insurance. You could insure yourself against almost any kind of loss that you think you might incur. Good morning.
Good morning. Mallory Barnett. I'm an attorney with the Division of Insurance. To answer your question, captive insurance, I guess the easiest way to explain it is it's a form of self-insurance. So say I owned a business, that business would set up its own insurance company. They'd have the same owner, and the only risks that insurance company, the captive, could insure were the risks of that business. So there's going to be a common owner that owns both the business and the insurance company, and it's just kind of this triangular, I guess, setup. And I don't know if that helps explain.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bradford.
Follow. Then of course, what I'm saying is that sometimes those of us that set, for instance, a family corporation, and we do this pretty much, do they come under the same laws and the same qualifications and all the same issues that a non-captive insurance company does?
Mr. Chair, I'm not an expert on, I guess, family corporations and estate planning and that sort of mechanism. Captive insurance companies have a specific set of regulations in the insurance code that they have to abide by. So if an individual or a family corporation wants to set up a captive, they will have to abide by the rules and regulations that we have in place for those captives. The regulations for captive insurance companies are different than the traditional insurance company. But they do have, I guess they do have a set of regulations.
Thank you. Senator Shurmur.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Bradford, my experience with captive insurance is a captive group of businesses that go together and form a captive insurance group to insure themselves from or real estate liability or what have you. And that's probably the most widely used method of captive insurance. Would you agree?
Yes.
You can comment. Relax debate, remember?
With the chair's permission, I'll follow up on that a little bit. There are multiple different types of captive insurance companies. In South Dakota, we allow a handful of different types of pure captive insurance companies, group captive insurance companies, trust captives, sponsored sell, which is up before you today, and then a special purpose. And yes, one of the main purposes behind captives is often like businesses that are involved in, well, the same type of business that can't afford to set up their own captive due to the expenses will group together to set up the captive. And that captive can still only insure the risks of the members of the group. So that's a common purpose behind them. It's similar to the sponsored cell where there's going to be one main core and there's individual cells underneath that core. It's similar to the group, except everything's going to be kept separate. So in like a group captive, they're going to share those risks and the expenses. In a sponsored captive with the cells underneath, everything's going to be kept separate through accounting purposes.
Thank you. Thank you for the captive instruction. Are you available for consultation should Senator Bradford now want to...
I would be happy to...
Any other committee questions or comments regarding captive insurance companies and or Senate Bill 39 that's before us today? Seeing none, is there committee action that would like to be entertained regarding Senate Bill 39 this morning? Senator Shorma. Senator Shorma moved to pass on Senate Bill 39, seconded by Senator Greenfield. Comments on your motion?
As I understand the captive insurance business, I don't see any problem with this. The additional fee for each cell is what I think we're trying to do away with under the primary, and I support the bill.
Thank you. Any further comments on the do-pass motion for Senate Bill 39? Seeing none, I'll ask for a roll call vote for Senate Bill 39 do-pass motion.
Senators Hager.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Kurd.
Aye. Senate Bill 39.
Oops, missed me.
Sorry. I'm going to be last, so it screwed me up. Senate Bill 39 has received unanimous support for the do-pass motion by Senator Shorma, even though we skipped over him on the first go-around of voting. Thank you for calling that to the Chair's attention.
I would move consent.
Senator Greenfield has moved consent for Senate Bill 39.
Second.
Seconded by Senator Hagar. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 39 will move to the floor on the consent calendar with the do-pass motion. While we transition to Senate Bill 40, I'm going to ask Erin if she wants to fly airplanes in the Air Force.
Yes.
She does. Any particular airplane you'd like to fly?
I have particular.
Just any airplane would be fine. Have you checked your color vision?
Yeah. I've got
2010. 2010? That's better than Senator Greenfield with glasses.
2013.
2013, Senator Greenfield. Do you want to compare our others? Senator Bradford, do you want to talk about your vision scores?
I would like 2015.
20. I would just like to be able to read what my yogurt says is inside it without these glasses on, but I can't do that this morning. Senate Bill 40, brought to the Committee of Commerce and Energy at the request of the Board of Technical Professions, is an act to revise signature and seal requirements for the Board of Technical Professions. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 40. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Executive Director for the Board of Technical Professions based out of Rapid City. They're a licensure board, and Senate Bill 40 updates requirements of signatures and seals on professional documents, defines digital signatures used by any licensed professional engineer, architect, land surveyor, and landscape architect. And it brings that digital signature language in line with the National Council of Examiners for Engineers and Surveyors. Any questions, sir?
Thank you. Are there any other proponents that wish to testify for Senate Bill 40 this morning? Seeing none, are there any that would rise in opposition to Senate Bill 40? Seeing none, are there questions from the committee regarding Senate Bill 40 as it appears before us this morning? Seeing no questions, we'll open the hearing for committee action on Senate Bill 40.
I will move do pass.
Second.
Thank you, Senator Greenfield. It's do pass motion for Senate Bill 40, seconded by Senator Shorma. Comments on your motion, Senator Greenfield?
I just appreciate the brevity. Thank you for a concise bit of testimony.
Appreciate it. So there's a recommendation for an easy path for your legislation. Don't talk it to death. Senator Shorma, any comments? Seeing no other comments, we will
call the roll for the do-pass motion for Senate Bill 40. I'll count this time.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Sharma.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Unanimous for the do-pass motion for Senate Bill 40.
I'm going to move consent.
Senator Greenfield has moved consent, seconded by Senator Sutton. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Senate Bill 40 will move to the floor on the consent calendar with the do-pass motion so attached. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm going to stay here because I'm 41.
You're 41, too? All right. You can stay there. But I want to ask our other page, since we asked about the Air Force, we'll ask about the Marine Corps. What would you like to do for the Corps?
I would like to go active duty for 4 years, come back, go into the reserves, go to Marine ROTC, and be a Judge Advocate General. So.
I think you probably need a plan before you start down into the Marine Corps. Something so loosely identified as that, I don't see how you'll possibly succeed. So for the people that maybe couldn't hear this fine gentleman this morning, he said he'd like to spend 4 years in the Marine Corps, then join the reserves, use the money for school, go to law school, and be part of the Judge Advocate Corps. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's outstanding. What do you think you'd do in those 4 years? Just whatever the Marine Corps tells you to do?
Whatever they tell me to do, but my occupation status would be military police.
Yeah, we'll get used to doing what they tell you to do. That's kind of how it works.
That's what it has to be, sir.
Thank you very much. Senate Bill 41 revised certain provisions related to the Board of Technical Professions at the request of the Board of Technical Professions. Good morning again, Ms. Patterson.
Senate Bill 41 clarifies the intent of the law and cleans up outdated language that was missed when the laws were revised in 09. They did miss taking out expert testimony and inserting the profession of landscape architect and land surveying in a couple of the laws. So they're just cleaning up that language and clarifying it. Any questions?
Thank you. Anyone that wishes to rise in support of Senate Bill 41 other than Ms. Patterson, who's getting tired of sitting in front of us, although she's been very brief. Anyone that would like to rise in opposition to Senate Bill 41 this morning? Seeing none, are there committee questions or comments regarding Senate Bill 41? Seeing none, we'll open the committee hearing to action for Senate Bill 41. Senator Greenfield.
I'll move to pass.
Okay. Senator Greenfield moves to pass for Senate Bill 41, seconded by Senator Sutton. Comments on your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For those who are listening but not necessarily following along, this is a 7-page bill, and it was covered in about 7 seconds, and I do appreciate that because it is pretty straightforward and simple. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Greenfield. Senator Sutton, any comments?
No.
Seeing none, we'll call the roll for the do-pass motion by Senator Greenfield on Senate Bill 41.
Sharma.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Unanimous for the do-pass motion on Senate Bill 41.
I'll move consent.
Senator Greenfield has moved consent, seconded by Senator Hagar. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Senator Bradford is opposed to Senate Bill 41. You're getting a large bill load to carry down to the floor this morning. So Senate Bill 41 will not be on the consent calendar. However, it will go to the floor with a do-pass motion attached thereto. We'll move now on the committee calendar to Senate Bill 42. I want those of you keeping track to notice that we're almost through 6 bills in less than 30 minutes, so the heat is on our next proponent testifier to make sure that we finish in less than 30 minutes this morning. Although, we will, of course, take the time necessary to make sure we give it full consideration and the appropriate discretion. Senate Bill 42 is to increase certain fees for boxing, kickboxing, and mixed martial arts competitions brought to us at the request of the Department of Labor and Regulation. Good morning, Mr. Hart.
Good morning, Senator Curd, Chairman Curd. My name is Thomas Hart. I'm Deputy Secretary for the Department of Labor and Regulation, and I'm here to ask for your support for Senate Bill 42. South Dakota Codified Law 42-12-10, subsection 6, provides the South Dakota Athletic Commission with the authority through rulemaking to cover the expenses for the South Dakota Athletic Commission. The statutory authority, however, requires the fee to not exceed 5% of the gross revenues or $1,000, whichever is greater. The South Dakota Athletic Commission began administering events in 2014. Since that time, we've overseen 7 events. Of those 7 events, 4 of the events have only generated the minimum $1,000. The other 3 events have generated revenue where the 5% kicks in. From that experience of hosting the 7 events, the average expense that is cost to the South Dakota Athletic Commission is around $3,000. So what we're asking for you today is to do a 2-step process. The first step is to amend 42-12-10 subsection 6 to increase the minimum from $1,000 to $5,000. So now the statute would be $5,000 or 5% of gross revenue, whichever is greater. The second step would be an administrative rule to just increase the amount to $3,000. We're just raising it up. We're asking you to, you're going to limit it to $3,000 via administrative rule, and that covers our expenses. But the $5,000 statute does give us a cap and flexibility. So in a couple of years, if we find that the expenses are going up, it gives the commission flexibility to raise that minimum amount from $3,000 up to a cap of $5,000. If you have any questions, I ask for your support of Senate Bill 42. If you have any questions, I'll stand by.
Are there any other proponents that would wish to speak in favor of Senate Bill 42? Are there any opponents that would like to testify against Senate Bill 42 this morning? Seeing none, are there committee questions or comments regarding Senate Bill 42? Senator Bradford.
Senator Sutton, I just have a question.
I called on you first because, you know, age before beauty.
Well, I think I had my hand up first.
You were definitely quicker as well.
I guess I kind of serve on two situations here because, to me, I interpret this as actually already in statute, but to me it's a rule, kind of a rules thing, to change fees and this kind of stuff. And I wondered why we'd have to do it in statute instead of just through rule.
Mr. Hart,
Senator Kurd, or Chairman Kurd, that's a great point, Senator Bradford. The South Dakota Athletic Commission, late 2015, were doing their annual cleanup for administrative rules. And involved in those administrative rules was we at first thought we had the ability to raise that minimum up to $3,000. And we noticed up that rules along with a bevy of other rules. During the time between when we noticed those rules up and they went out to public comment, we felt it was better to come to this, to and amend it by statute and come and ask the legislature to amend that statute. A point that can be made is, since we did notice that up, we did reach out to 21 interested parties, including promoters, managers, individuals that are involved in the kickboxing, MMA, and boxing industry, and we had no negative or comments or opponents to that rule of going from 1,000 to 3,000.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. Senator Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have some concerns about the $5,000 cap when you're just talking about 3,000 in administrative rule. Can you walk me through your thought process on that a little bit? Because I'm just going to give you my thought on it, that why not just make it 3,000 in statute if you're going to do it 3,000 in rule and come back at another time when there's going to be maybe different members of the legislature that might have a different opinion on a fee increase of this type? Mr. Hart.
Senator Curd, or Chairman Curd. That's a fine point and something that we did discuss. As of right now, the average expense that we're finding is a little over $3,000. And we discussed about just amending it to $3,000, and then obviously that's the cap, and then we'd have to amend the rules and be $3,000 in rules. We discussed that you know, in a year from now or 2 years from now, if we find that expenses are going up because of other issues that we are not foreseeing, and then we'd have to come back again and ask for another increase. We thought since there's other, you know, if there are other statutes and administrative and fees that are set where there's a cap of X amount and administrative rules, it's below that X amount, and that gap provides some flexibility to the commission so we're not coming back every year when we see that expenses are going up.
Follow up. Senator Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I appreciate the explanation, and it's not my intent here to be argumentative, but if that's the case, why $5,000? Why not $20,000 to make sure that you're good for 20 years down the road? If you can see my concern here.
Senator
Mr. Hart.
Senator Sutton, you know, the question is, why did we pick $5,000? I wouldn't be telling the truth if I said there was a deep analysis of why we picked $5,000, but there was discussion that, you know, that's 40% more than the current expense, and that, you know, while it is 40% more, that does provide some flexibility for a few years. You know, $20,000, I don't know if I could justify asking for $20,000 as the cap, because then via administrative rule, the next interim rule committee hearing, we could ask for it to go up to $20,000. And that doesn't reflect what our expenses are. I mean, we're just trying to match revenues that come in for these events to the expenses of the cost to make it self-sustaining, and so that we don't have to come back and ask for a general appropriation. We're just trying to match expenses with revenues.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. Senator Greenfield, you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple, actually, if I might.
Certainly.
My first question is simply how you account for the expenses that you're talking about.
Sure.
Mr. Hart, feel free to answer.
Senator, Chairman Curd. The seven events that we've held or that we've administered, as I stated, there's four that didn't generate anything more than the $1,000 minimum, and three that generated more than that $1,000 minimum based upon 5% of gross revenue. There's a lot of activities that go on in hosting these events. There's licensing for the fighters or the competitors. There's licensing for the managers. There's licensing for the promoters. There's bond forms that have to be filled out by the promoters. There's insurance forms because the promoters provide the health insurance for the fighters. They provide a $10,000 medical, $10,000 health. There's forms, licensings for the seconds. There's licensings for the referees. There's licensings for the scorekeepers. There's licensing for the physicians. Some of those licensings do bring in some revenue. But each event, those licensings are once a year. And a lot of these events, it's new individuals and new parties that are coming in. So there's a lot of pre-fight administration. Second, on pre-fight administration, there's a lot of ensuring that the promoter, the matchmaker that's putting on the fight, has all their application filled out correctly and has abided by all the regulations that they have to follow prior to the fight being even noticed up on the commission for approval. There has to be, as I stated, there also has to be a surety bond filed by the promoter. They have to do a notice of contest. The commission has to review to ensure that fighter A and fighter B is an equal match. There's blood tests that have to be conducted. There's a pre-fight physical form that has to be conducted. The day of the event, there's a physical that has to be conducted. The day of the event, there's a weigh-in. The day of the event, there's a promotional weigh-in. Commissioners and individuals have to ensure that there's proper wrapping of the hands of the fighters, that there's proper taping of the hands of the fighters to ensure that the size of the gloves are correct. And then post-fight, there's also a lot of post-fight administration in reconciling the revenues that come in, making sure releases are brought in, making sure that if there's any suspensions or if there's any ongoing concerns with the fight, the promoter, the manager, the referee. So that's just a little bit of a snippet of what all goes into an event. There's a lot of regulation and oversight that goes in to ensure their safety to the public, and also that the public that pays to go to these events are going to a competitive athletic event. And so based upon those seven events, the average cost is around $3,000 right now.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Follow up, and then I do still have one more question. So, sir, would it be possible for you to produce, what's your condition statement? What's the commission's condition statement currently?
I could not give you an up-to-date, and I can get that information. Senator Kirk, I can't give you an up-to-date, but I can get you a statement of where they're sitting right now. By way of history, this commission was funded initially with, I believe, $90,000 in 2013 was when it was originally formed. There's a cleanup and quite a bit of work that went into a 2014 cleanup bill and a lot of work on obviously then getting the administrative rules in place. And so there's a lot of expense that went into all of this before even a first event was held. But my understanding, and don't hold me to this, and I can get it, but I would say that it's in the $20,000 range is left, and it's going down based upon each the events are losing money because we're not generating enough revenue.
Thank you.
And first question. Chair, yes, thank you. My third question, I guess, is simply this. You're changing the verbiage to state the fee established under this subdivision may not exceed $5,000 or 5% of the gross revenues, whichever is greater. To me, that establishes in state law that the floor is $5,000. And so I don't know that we're being clear in that your intention is to go to $3,000 in the short term. It appears to me that the law would conflict with administrative rule, if you follow my train of thought.
I understand what you're
saying. Senator, go ahead, please.
I understand your discussion. We had worked with the executive director for the South Dakota Athletic Commission, reviewed, and have discussed this with LRC. But we can. Our feeling is that we're setting the. The way that it was drafted is that we can go up to $5,000, 5%, whichever is greater, is the intent, and then set it in rule with the $3,000 cap right now.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hart. I think a comment before Senator Sherman's question, but I think if you read line 8 on page 2, that's where Senator Greenfield is referring to. It starts on line 4 at the end where it says the fee established under this subdivision may not exceed underscore $5,000 or finish underscore 5% of the gross revenues of the exhibition from any and all sources, including cable television and pay-per-view telecasts of the event, exclusive of any federal tax, and then down to line 8, whichever is greater. So I agree with Senator Greenfield. The way I read it, it's 5%. Or $5,000, whichever is greater, which to me seems like it's going to be $5,000 all the time. That's how I read the statute. Does anybody on the committee have a different viewpoint than that? I mean, it may need that we should amend this and ask some folks to bring us a draft before we take final action on it. We could certainly hold this over until Tuesday next week and then reconsider it. I'd rather not send it to the floor and trying to amend it at that location. I'd rather get it done in the committee work so it has a much cleaner passage through the Senate chamber. Senator Sharma?
Yes, I just have a simple question. Can you tell me the maximum revenue generated by one of the events that exceeded the $1,000?
The largest event, so there's been seven, Chairman Curb. Please. May I proceed? There's been seven events. Three events have been held in Sioux Falls, and four in other parts of the state. The three that have been held in Sioux Falls are RFA events at the Sanford Pentagon. Those three events are the three events that have exceeded the $1,000 minimum. And this change would not affect the revenue that they brought in, but those events have not been able to offset the losses and
from
the others.
Senator Sharma, please.
My question was more specific than that. On the event that exceeded by the largest amount, how much was the total revenue from that event?
It was in the 3,500 to 5,500 area. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. So if I understood the answer to your question about the costs that go into the pre-fight and post-fight, it's mostly administrative and staff hours that's required. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator Kirk.
Yeah, I'm asking you so you can answer freely, please. So $3,000, can you give us an idea of the number of hours that requires? Or conversely, I know I'm asking you to do math on the spot here in front of everybody, but or if there's an hourly rate that you could give us, and that can give us, we can work there either way. I'm just curious about how many hours of time that is.
Senator Kirk, I believe the average event takes anywhere from 75 to 95 hours. Now, there's also other expenses. These events require travel because the individuals are in Pierre, commissioners are throughout the state. And commissioners, there has to be a certain amount of commissioners at each event. And there's also lodging that has to be taken care of because these events are typically held on a Saturday. Sometimes they're on a Friday night. And the weigh-ins are the day before. And so individuals have to be there for a minimum of 2 days, sometimes 3 days, to oversee the actions that they have to oversee prior to each event. And then there's work after the event, the day after.
Thank you. Any other committee questions for Mr. Hart regarding Senate Bill 42?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I assume that it is your intention to hold this bill over.
Yes, it is.
Then, sir, next week, could you provide us with some numbers, you know, something that we can look at as to, again, you talked about the licensing fees that others pay in addition to the promoters. I'd like a fuller picture as to what the costs are, what the revenues are. That would help me in making a decision. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, question?
Thank you, Senator Sharma.
One clarification when you come back to us on Tuesday. Would you be proposing the $3,000 with a $5,000 cap when it exceeds the $3,000?
Senator Chairman Kurd, we're going to go back and make an amendment to this to clarify so there's no confusion on what we're trying to do here. We will be doing, my understanding is that we will be doing $5,000, or we'll do 5% of gross revenue. The minimum fee the way it's written, it may not exceed. So it's going to be written so it's up to $5,000 is the minimum, or 5%. Of the gross revenues, but then administrative rules, we're going to have it approved, so it's $3,000. And so then we'll have that flexibility for that minimum. So the minimum will be $3,000 and 5%.
Not to exceed $5,000?
No, it can exceed $5,000. It'll be 5%. So right now, maybe numbers may help. Right now, an event that grosses up to $19,999. Their fee is $1,000. An event that grosses $20,000 or above is 5%. So if it grosses $30,000, their fee is $1,500, $40,000, $2,000, and so forth. This rule would then change it so it's any event under $60,000. Well, by rule, because it's going to be a $3,000 floor, any event up to $59,999 will be $3,000. Any event $60,000 or above, the 5% will kick in. So a $70,000 event will be a $3,500. But then we'd have the flexibility in statute. So if expenses in 2 years are finding it's running at $5,000 an event, we would have the flexibility via administrative rule to increase that up to the $5,000 that's in statute.
Thank you. I think what Senator Sherman is asking is there, in effect, ever a cap that comes into place? For instance, if it was a $1 million event, is it going to be 5% of $1 million?
It would be $50,000.
So there is no true cap?
No true cap.
That's the question you were asking, right? Great. Well, if you would kind of maybe get with the attorneys and scrub the language a little bit. Amanda's going to help coordinate that, I think, as well, and we'll be eager to see what you come up with next Tuesday. Maybe it'll be exactly the same thing, and you can walk us through it so that we understand it better. But with that being said, is there any other action that people would like to take regarding Senate Bill 42 as it exists before us today? Seeing none, we'll plan on holding that over until next Tuesday. Thank you, Mr. Hart.
Thank you, Chairman.
Any other business for the good of the Senate Commerce Committee this morning? Seeing none, I'd entertain Senator Nostrup's motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Senate Commerce stands adjourned. We'll see you Tuesday at 10 a.m., same building. Thank you, same place.